Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
To the program. 803-0930 is the number to call if you're a parent or a student. You want to talk about going back to school. We're also looking at teachers at 644-9875 if you're a teacher and you want to come on the program and talk about that. Also, we're in this hour, we're going to be talking about what's happening in Chicago. I mean, that is about as crazy a situation as we have seen. Look, the rallies, the riots, the looting. This has nothing. I've talked buddies in Chicago. I've talked to people in Chicago Police Department that I know. This has nothing to do with a police shooting at all. I mean, you can't even the timeline of events doesn't even make sense to where you have groups of kids, organized kids, that just showed up and threw bricks into windows and just cleared out high-end stores at a mall. I mean, there's absolutely no way you can make a comparison that this has anything to do with a police shooting. Now, that shooting that occurred yesterday, it was reported by local Chicago media that police had shot an underage child. That was the initial report, and that's what spread through Twitter and Facebook. Turns out the suspect was 20 years old, fired four rounds at police officers, wounding one, and the police officer shot back, injuring the suspect, and we believe the suspect's critical. But of the of what happened in the mall, 13 Chicago, we have 100 arrests in the city right now, but 13 Chicago police officers have been injured, broken bones. They received gunfire inside the mall. They returned gunfire outside of the mall. This is absolutely ridiculous. I'll just play just a little clip here and so that we're all on the same page of how can, I mean, you want to make the argument that there's a problem. We could say that there's been a problem in the city of Chicago forever. But the looting, this is the mayor, Lori Lightfoot, Democrat in Chicago.
What occurred in our downtown and surrounding communities was abject criminal behavior, pure and simple.
Well, we agree. She also said this.
This was an assault on our city.
Okay, so not even the mayor of Chicago, the left-wing mayor Lori Lightfoot, is even connecting what happened in the looting and the attacks on police officers with anything going on with that shooting, which was reported falsely as a child being shot. It turned out to be a 20-year-old male who injured and engaged police with gunfire and then was shot after that. So the mayor is not even saying this has to do with the city of Chicago and the police shooting. This was organized. This was going to happen. The shooting. And by the way, you know, how many shootings happen in Chicago? You can make the argument that any sort of organized rally is in response to a person who got shot, because that's how many people get shot in Chicago. One of them is this rapper FGB Duck. This is him. That is highly edited. He's a gangster rapper out of Chicago. Now, here's my connection to this guy. This guy, I actually had a sidebar conversation with him. I thought he was a really decent guy. I mean, I could see that this was a man who was completely conflicted about validation on the street, his own career. He's got four children, three boys and a girl, 25 years old, and he's just has no idea what to do with the notoriety and the fame that he's received because he raps about his life and about the violence of the street, but at the same time, now that he has money, he wants a better life for himself. So he has to keep his street credit and talk about, you know, drive-by shootings, and he still wants to, you know, support his family, take care of his family, and move on with his life. And he's just a very complicated man in a very complicated city in Chicago. And 4 days ago, he was shot dead outside of a mall. And, you know, this guy has a pretty big following in the city. He's also a national recording artist. But, you know, these rappers that killed a duck, whatever, FBG Duck, this rapper, they were celebrating his death. They were all making fun of him on Twitter and Instagram, and that he did a diss track where he sang, he did a rap track about someone, making fun of them or whatever, disrespecting them. And he was dead 24 hours later. And so, you know, but that's a celebrity in Chicago getting gunned down in the middle of broad daylight. And the only reason why I talked to that guy was because a speech that I gave, they chopped up into like a 5-second clip. And that speech did, for whatever reason, was doing, was trending in like gangster rap communities. Like little boards and Twitter and whatnot. And he's one of the guys that took that track of the speech and put it into that song slide that is his hit. And they added it as a video. And then he was like, hey, this is, of course, I didn't get a dime for it, by the way. It was property of the U.S. Army, so it was free. But my point is, I got a chance to actually have a conversation, and I was like, I really felt leaving that conversation that this is a guy that is really struggling with what I'm supposed to be and what I'm supposed to do. Am I the tough guy that wants to shoot everyone I meet? I mean, he did a video a couple months ago where he was telling people in Chicago, there's no reason to shoot children. There's no beef in the world that's worthy enough to shoot children. And I'm thinking, well, this guy's really making an effort to better his community. And then he says, you're doing it all wrong. If you're shooting kids, you're just spraying all over the place. There's no reason why you can't shoot the guy you want to shoot. Just shoot the guy you want to shoot, get in your car and go. And I'm thinking, wait, that's the Gandhi of Chicago? You know what I'm saying? Like, he's just basically like, you're shooting people wrong, shoot people the right way. It's just, it's crazy. You can't think this is the United States. Like, that should not be happening. I don't care who it's happening to. I don't care, whatever your politics are, Democrat, Republican, Americans are being killed in cities, and there is no excuse for that to happen. Absolutely no excuse. The one thing law enforcement can do is stop people from randomly shooting people in neighborhoods. Absolutely. That is what police forces are designed to do, and I have no doubt that any police department in Western New York, if they had a situation of 200 shootings a weekend, would be able to say, I got this. This is never going to happen again. It's disgusting. It's un-American. It's disgusting. It's a beautiful city. The people of Chicago do not deserve that. And this is a small minority of thugs who are honestly domestic terrorists. This has nothing to do with crime or gangs or drugs or anything. This is just people who have no fear of the law. Absolutely no respect and no fear of the law, and they will do whatever the hell they want. And you know what? For a long time, Chicago has said, go ahead and do what you want. And that's a horrible situation. We'll take your calls on that. We'll also take your calls on schools. 803-0930 for parents and students. 644-9875 for teachers. And one of the stories that Baggerman filed today, actually, it's excellent. There's two parts of it, but there's a lot of nuance to it because it's not just talking about what daycare centers have to go through. It's also talking about, the decision parents are going to have to make if it turns out that the school is only going to have, in-class education for 3 days a week or 4 days a week or whatever they decide to do. But the other thing that I thought was fascinating about this is that it really opens up the window here to how they're able to even do anything with these kids in daycare with masks on. And how much of that development and learning is about understanding expressions and knowing what you said is somehow deserves a smile, or what you said is, you know, when you say things like that, you get a frown. That doesn't make me happy. Kids are reading faces. They're learning how to speak. They're learning how to talk. They're learning how to do all sorts of things that require you to actually read someone, and a mask takes away from that. So there's a whole lot of nuance in this story Baggerman filed.
The hybrid model of learning will complicate the situation for childcare providers. That's why Sherry Phillips, who heads Aleap in Learning in Orchard Park in Hamburg, is trying to adjust in order to accommodate virtual learning this fall. Still, that's not the only challenge that she's facing.
They can't see our faces. And for an infant and a toddler, being able to see our mouths and the way that we mouth words and being able to hear the way that we speak to them is very important for their development.
Then there's the challenge of even having slots available for kids. She said the state has forced providers to cut down on their capacity because of coronavirus, and the hybrid model of schooling isn't ideal for consistency.
Let's say, for instance, they aren't going to go to school on Wednesdays. No children go to school on Wednesdays. So now you have the whole elementary school population of children with working parents who have no care on Wednesdays. You have 30 to 40% less child care centers whose numbers are reduced. There's nowhere for these children to go.
So we'll take your calls, 803-0930 if you're a parent, student, 644-9875 if you're a teacher. Let's go to the phones and let's talk to Steve in Niagara Falls. Steve, go ahead. Steve, you there? All right, Steve, we'll get you. If you hear this, just wait and I'll get back to you. John in North Collins, go ahead, sir.
Hey, David, how's it going?
Excellent, John. What's on your mind?
Well, in North Collins, they're proposing 2 days a week in school. And we have a child that has to have a little extra help in special classes and that. And, you know, the attention span is, in fact, good on the, you know, at home learning computer and that. So what are they going to do with the kids that need the extra help?
You know, there are, when these hybrid plans came out, the issue that everyone seemed to want to talk about is how safe the schools are going to be, whether or not kids are going to transfer and transmit this virus. And then parents started to say, wait a minute, there is far more issues here that have to do with the actual transmission of COVID. But what am I going to do with these kids? And am I going to be able to work? Am I going to be able to do different things? And now you have, you know, a situation where the state is telling these daycare centers and places that are watching children, you can only have so many kids. So you're increasing the demand and you're reducing their ability to supply. And it's a very difficult spot for a lot of people all over the region.
And my wife this past school year, with being at home helping teach him, she was overwhelmed, and he was only in kindergarten. It was 7 days a week they were hammering my wife on emails and what they have to do. Plus, one more thing, since the kids are only going to be going to school part-time in school, do we have to pay our full school tax?
We're seeing that right now with these kids that are starting their freshman years in school. Some colleges are saying, hey, your bill is due on this day. You just, the first 4 weeks, though, you're going to be remote learning. You know, are you going to prorate all this stuff? I mean, there's a lot of those economic questions that have to be answered as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of students that need, you know, that hands-on with a teacher.
And it's very frustrating to hear elected officials just constantly talk about, well, the federal government's going to bail all of us out, so don't worry about it. You'll get a return. You'll get refunded. You'll get this. You'll get that. $30 trillion in debt. This is the last rainy day that the federal government can afford to ever start writing checks again. There can't be another collapse of a market, housing or commercial housing, commercial real estate. Nothing can really go broke anymore, because there's no, unless you're going to, whoever is president of the United States is going to have to run on a 10% tax increase, because there's no way you are going to continue to be able to borrow tens of trillions of dollars. It's a horrible situation to be in. John, I appreciate your call. Let's go back to Steve in Niagara Falls, who's a police officer, or talking about cops. Go ahead, Steve.
Yes, sir. I taught defensive tactics at the police academy, and I taught firearms instructing. And I would love to hear you explain how police are supposed to stop shootings, because 99% of the time, and I'll even give it a higher number, 99.9 to the nth degree, police officers get there after the shooting. How are police officers, they've already decided that stop and frisk is against the Constitution.
Stop and frisk is a tool, but it's not the only tool. There are checkpoints that you could put up. First of all, the weapons that are coming into Chicago, there are police that they're not even patrolling these neighborhoods. They're not allowed to patrol these neighborhoods. Every time you hear aldermen in the city of Chicago yelling at the mayor about her not being responsible, you have to question, well, who were the three mayors before Mayor Lori Lightfoot? Because this is not a COVID problem. This is exacerbated by COVID. But if you put
a police officer,
if you put presence patrols in neighborhoods and you had checkpoints that were set up and you were doing the basics of policing. Listen, if the police department can't do it and their hands are full, although I believe Chicago is a very competent police department and they're very really talented professionals, but the National Guard, they could easily do that. I mean, this you have to treat this like you would treat a third nation, that you essentially are saying, if you're going to shoot 200 people a weekend, then this is martial law. Here's what we're doing. You're going to pass through a checkpoint. You're going to open up your trunk. We're going to see what's in this vehicle. And if there's any weapon system in here, here's the mandatory minimum that you're going to be serving. We're going to get these guns that are stolen off the street. We're going to get these people in prison. I just don't think there's a will to do that in Chicago.
But you're talking about declaring martial law in the United States.
What other reason is there to declare martial law when 200 citizens are being shot a weekend? I mean, tell me a city in America. This is more violent than any city in Iraq.
I agree. But the problem is the police of this country are not taught how to handle domestic terrorism. That's not their job. They haven't been trained to do it.
I totally agree. Well, I think some police forces have certainly gotten more training since 9/11, but are not up to a level where they could take out.
The officer has opened fire on. He is ordered to leave the area.
It's unacceptable. But I'm saying that there is a solution that is a police solution to the violence in any city in America. And you have no relationship with the locals and the police department, and that is because of the cowardice and the fecklessness of your elected officials and aldermen in Chicago.
I won't argue that, but just remember, those are gun-free zones.
Absolutely they are. Which is more reason, by the way, that you would figure that Bloomberg and mayors against illegal guns would want the confiscation of stolen guns, scratched serial numbers, whatever they are. You would want to enforce that, but there seems to be no will.
Gun violence.
What's that?
Not gun violence. Guns are not violent. And guns or saws or knives or baseball bats. No tool is violent. They're not attacking the actual problem, which you mentioned and then you glossed over. It's gang violence. It's drug violence. That's why these people are shooting each other. That's the only reason.
Well, listen. If it was gang or if it was drug, if that was the primary reason, gang violence and drug violence and all that good stuff. You know, again, there are task force that can handle that. The federal government is ready to double down their efforts, like they did in Portland and Seattle. But the problem here is you have people being shot in broad daylight in areas that have not seen any hostility at all, and the police are absolutely powerless to call down to a precinct down the road and shut down a district because a person who just shot someone is going into a new neighborhood. I mean, they're not even cooperating with each other.
You're powerless to handle people who are willing to stand out in the street.
I understand that. I'm just saying that, Steve, my whole argument and the mission statement I'm defending right now is that police are the answer to all of it. And if they're given the ability to do their job, they could shut Chicago down in a heartbeat. And if the police waved the white flag and said no, the military could shut Chicago down in a heartbeat. The people of Chicago deserve to live in an area where they're not threatened daily by shootings and they're not threatened, but businesses aren't threatened to have groups of young people break in and steal their inventory. It's absolutely, there's no excuse for it. Appreciate your call. We're talking schools, 803-0930. We'll take your calls, parents and students, 644-9875. We're going to take a quick break, and then right back to your calls, Sandy and Fran. Will be right to you right after this. La, 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 la. La, la, la. La, 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 la.
Man in me. Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast. It will do.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. 803-0930 is the number to call. Talking about the school situation, whether you're a parent or a teacher. You know, you look at it on its surface, and the first thing you want to say is, well, we just want to make sure that transmissions are down, that we don't have kids infecting other kids and bringing that home and killing grandma. That's the 35,000-foot view. But as you start to peel away this onion, there are so many issues that are involved with teachers. Look, yeah, teachers don't want to get COVID. Nobody wants to get COVID. Nobody wants to get sick. Nobody wants to die. But teachers are also looking down the road and seeing, wait a minute, if you go with a hybrid system and you start educating these kids 25, 30% of the time without a teacher in the room, what's going to happen the next time the budget comes along? Do we need this many teachers? A lot of these unions are fighting for their survivability. They're fighting for their people. And teachers are not really looking forward to a future where they don't have jobs or they're being forced to retire at a different age. There's a concern out there. Parents are also thinking, what am I going to do with my kids? Mike Baggerman has a story on WBN.com that you could check out that it really pulls back at least four other issues that at least I wasn't thinking about. And that's daycare centers, I should say, are being required to reduce the amount of kids in their daycares. So that means that, you know, you're reducing demand, you're increasing demand, and you're reducing the supply. There's only so many kids they can have in their building. And now more parents than average are going to need daycare because of the hybrid system of how many days they're in school. It changes a lot and it makes a lot of things difficult. Let's go to Tony in Tonawanda. Tony, go ahead.
How you doing, David? Good morning.
Yeah, go ahead. And we also talked about Chicago and the situation going on with police in Chicago. Go ahead, Tony.
Yeah, I beg to differ with you. I think it goes much deeper than just the police. It's the prosecutors. It's the justice system. I mean, last week they had a guy that was on video shooting someone.
Right.
Goes into court, and they release him. Within another week, he shoots three more people.
Right. No, listen, first of all, I just want to set the record straight here. I'm not saying the problem is in with policing. I'm saying the solution is in policing. And the issue that you have is you have aldermen and you have political agendas out there that don't want the city of Chicago to be run by the police. They don't want the police to run their city, and they're getting, this is what happens.
Well, I just think it's atrocious that the police do their job, get these people arrested, get them in the court, and these liberal judges and these prosecutors, they, you know, they're giving them no bail, releasing them on their own recognizance.
It's sick. It's sick, and they're going out and killing more people. And I just want to look at Chicago as an American problem, not just as a black, white, Republican, Democrat problem. It's an American tragedy. This is the autopsy of a city that we're reading about that was once the second greatest city in the entire country. Tony, appreciate your call. Let's go to Fran on the education side. Fran, you're in Allentown, and go ahead.
Hi, David. I just want to thank you and bless you for your work over in the Iraq War.
Oh, thank you, Fran. It's very kind.
I read your book, and it's like, oh, my God.
you're kind, Fran. What's on your mind today?
Okay. Well, I was an art teacher for 7 years, and being an art teacher, you teach from kindergarten up to eighth. You know, you have different classes.
Right.
So I understand, like, lesson plans and overcrowding in classes, et cetera, et cetera. But I was telling Tony, I just wanted to comment on the fact, and you know, in different cultures, I had a Vietnamese young lady that was graduating from Buff State who had grown up in Vietnam. And I said to her, how in the world did you learn? And she said, my parents taught me. There were no computers over there. And I understand it's a different culture. But, you know, I think America is in a comfort zone, and they really need to, like, reexamine what they can do, because outside of that, I had a woman who was from India, and she would, you know, they were over in America. She would get her children up at 4 o'clock in the morning to start studying before they went to school and after school, and I said, why do you do this? And she said, because it's the competition is so great in these countries that you have to be the best of the best.
But when you see all the international comparisons of how Americans do at math, how Americans are at English, how Americans are at science, and you see where we rank in the world, what is your reason for American, we put so much money into education and yet the results are so poor? What do you think is going on there?
I think it's the funds that are poorly managed. Mm-hmm. I think priorities are off, where there should be more focus on inner city schools where the largest population of students would be. I think that's really forgotten. And just, I think it's just mismanaged, poorly mismanaged.
But, you know, to be fair to teachers, though, they're not giving the results. They're not giving tests to the stupid kids in China. Okay, they're not going to the schools that are failing and putting them on that list. We are testing everybody in the United States, and our numbers are legitimate numbers. These numbers that are coming from these other countries are garbage. I mean, they're all propaganda. The smartest American high school student is the smartest high school student in the world.
Well, okay, you know, I can say I just know of instances of people from third world who already...
No, but what I'm saying is that you take anyone from a third world country and you bring them into the education system in the United States, and I think there's a lot to say that all we do is throw stones at education in America. And honestly, I mean, there are districts that are struggling because there's communities that are struggling. There are cities that are struggling.
Exactly.
It's a cross-section of America. It doesn't mean that all education's bad, all teachers are bad, or the curriculum is bad.
No, I was just making a comment.
No, I'm not. I'm saying that for the audience, not for you.
Yeah. I'm just making a comment. And I did, you know, being like a special teacher, an art teacher, I would teach like probably 300 kids.
And, you know, and they're always talking about cutting those programs and cutting those positions. And, you know, how much of, you know, there are people that are you know, the argument is how much you're going to use geometry in your life. And then you grow up and you find out, well, there are
a lot.
You need a lot. And when it comes to art and it comes to just, you know, being well-rounded, we're missing one thing in our society, and that's our humanity. And maybe if we had more art and music and everything else, along with math and bio and sports, we could find a way that we can maybe have some more well-rounded kids out there.
Well, just one more comment. When I was getting ready for the school year, the teachers would go in, and maybe some teachers would call in and see if this is still going on. This was historically I taught. You would come in 3 days prior, and they would tell you what curriculum you were going to teach that year. You know, like I was at the, they were teaching Ebonics, like sounding out words, instead of learning how to spell them correctly. And I'm going, why are you doing this? And it's, well, it's just the way we're told we need to teach this year.
Right. Well, you know, again, those curriculums, you know, the argument has always been made by, you know, depending on what spectrum you are politically, is that schools do much more than education, so therefore we have to get more well-rounded, you know, we're getting these kids from, you know, 4 years old potentially all the way to 18. So if we're going to have them longer and teaching them more life skills, I think that argument has been lost by some on the political right that thought that schools were only for education. I think that has long been lost, that schools do much more than just educate your children. They're daycare. They're also teaching skills that a lot of these kids, unfortunately, aren't learning in their communities. So this is a much, you know, larger, you know, where we look at the hierarchy of what are the things that really impact our life on a daily basis. A lot of what you're seeing on the streets in the America today is because of either a lack of education or somehow putting out there that this country was founded on things that you should hate and that you should be, you know, compelled to go out and make, you know, a difference because of the history of the Constitution. You know, that's alarming. So maybe more people have to get into education, take education seriously, join a school board. But we're learning lessons of COVID, but we're also learning lessons in education. And I appreciate you calling into the program and helping us continuing our education. But we have to get to the point where if the schools are going to be daycare for kids that are pre-K and after K, then I don't know, how about we allow some other people that disagree with you to start coming up with curriculum? If we're just going to wave the white flag and say that these are what the schools are designed to be now, which every person on the right has been arguing till they're breathless, that no, it's supposed to be about getting your high school diploma and moving on. And then we move the goalposts because some people couldn't get their high school diploma. And now there's some kids that are really, really desperately wanting to get their degree and their high school diploma, but unfortunately they got pregnant or they have problems at home and they have other issues. I'm just saying if that is what schools are of the future, can we at least come up with an agreement that we can have diverse opinions coming up with curriculum on these school boards? You know, I mean, every civil rights era, every decade, there's a civil rights movement. We saw it with African Americans. Obviously, homosexuals joined in the civil rights, much to the chagrin of some black people. Gay people joined civil rights. Then the transgender community came in, and there was a bunch of other letters that followed them. There was some, other people that identified binary, non-sexual, whatever it is. They all now are screaming for their civil rights. And I'm telling you, there's going to be a point very soon where diversity of opinion is going to have to be a protected civil right in the United States. It's not just the way your skin color is. It's not just your sexuality or what you were born or what you want to be through surgery to be treated as, I'm now a woman, I was born a man, it doesn't matter, it's my choice, I want liberty. I want you to treat me as if I were born with the skin color. That ideology has to now be protected because it's being destroyed in American cities. If you disagree, you are treated as a third-class citizen because of your politics or because of who you voted for or the way you see the world. And I'm just saying that children, impressionable children, should be given the both sides so that they can make a decision and maybe be, if not more well-rounded, how about accepting when they meet someone that disagrees with them? And that goes for black people. It goes for white people. White people have to be exposed to the idea that there is something in this world that is different than you. And it's not weird. It's not, they're not, you know, you're not normal and they're abnormal, but it's different, and different is embraced. I used to think, I was talking about this miss school, and I thought, you know, this weekend, missing school was one of the coolest experiences of my life. I loved being sick because I learned so many lessons about sitting at home while all of my friends were in school. And one of the lessons I learned at a very young age is that I mean nothing to this world, right? I have nothing to do. Everything goes on without me. And it was an ability to really be humbled because my friends were going to math class, even though I was on the couch watching, you know, Price is Right. They were still going about their day. And I realized my role in the community is you're not as important as you think you are. There is a whole bunch of people out there doing their own thing. And if you can impact them while you're here, God bless you. But let's be honest. What role do we play? Young people today don't know their role in the world. And that's the that's all of our problem. It's not a teacher's problem. It's not a superintendent's problem. It's all of our problem that we're raising kids that really believe that the way they feel, they now have a right to impact the way I feel because they're unhappy. Mom and dad didn't love you, so therefore I don't have to have a store window. There's no rationale to that. There's no rational. And so we automatically, if you think one way, the teachers are lazy and they don't want to work. If you think the other way, it's Cuomo, it's this, it's that. It's not. Get out of that box. Force yourself out of that box and see that whether or not you believe that COVID is real and it's not real, whether or not you believe masks work or they don't work, understand that there is a tremendous amount of stress on a lot of people right now. And parents that never thought about daycare have to think about it. And daycare centers that could really handle their business don't have enough people and enough, you know, the ability to clean to bring in more, and the state of New York is telling them they can't anyway. And then you have teachers that are saying, hey, if I go with this hybrid system, what's saying the next budget down the road you cut three teacher positions because, well, hey, we can all learn online. We don't need teachers. Everyone's looking out. Everyone has an agenda. Just realize that. It's not as easy as you think. Megan in Buffalo, go ahead. Megan?
Yeah. Hi.
Go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I can't really say what school or district I come from.
Please don't. Just go ahead.
Okay, good. I just want to say they told us that we are all remote, and they won't announce it to the public yet. They're going to announce it in a week. But the basis of it was, and I think a basis of it was a lot of the schools, is they sent out these parent surveys and teacher surveys, just kind of asking general questions about what are your concerns, do you want to return, do you not want to return. And for our school at least, we were 80% of our teachers did not want to return for whatever reason it was. So, and what I understand is a lot of schools had that high percentage as well. It kind of put the schools in kind of like a little bit of a bind where, you know, now we don't have staffing. Or there's also kind of word on the street that most districts and most schools kind of already see like the future as that it's going to be shut down anyways after 6 weeks. So why go back full time? And I'm heartbroken.
Everyone wants to point to one bad guy. It's administration, superintendents, and their big salaries and the principals. But what do you do when your workforce says, I don't feel comfortable? Whether it's legitimate, political, whatever the reason be, they are not going to go to work and they don't want to work in this environment. What does an administrator do other than just say everything has to be remote?
Right. So, like, you know, a lot of parent organizations have popped up and they're, you know, teachers are lazy. They don't want to go back. And for whatever reason it is, the percentages were high, but the schools kind of are in a bind. They can't open up full time and risk not having staff. I mean, we're on a teacher shortage as it is. My school has only two subs. I mean, we were desperate last year. So, I mean, I'm one of the few that I did want to go back full time, but I understand, like, you know, if someone becomes positive in a classroom, the rule is, well, the whole classroom needs to be out for 2 weeks.
The whole classroom?
The whole classroom. And right. Run the risk of, if they have a sibling in a different classroom, well, then they were that contact of the teacher with the other sibling, then that other classroom would have to be shut down. If a teacher was in multiple rooms, like I float between multiple rooms, and if I was positive for whatever reason, then all those rooms get shut down. So I think it was like this foreseeable future where administrators said, you know, we see this kind of shutting down after so many weeks because something will happen. So let's come up with either all remote or a hybrid or testing out either one.
And you're going to, any decision's going to be made. There's going to be people that are just going to, you know, reflexively complain. But there are so many different dominoes that fall based on one decision. And I just think now is a perfect time to just show a little empathy for the fact that people are running around trying to make this happen. And if we're ever going to get back to normalcy, it's going to take people making decisions like that. Megan, thank you so much for your call. Apologize to the folks that had to stay on hold. We have to wrap up this version, this day. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same station. Keep it locked here all day. News Radio, 930 WBN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.